Historically, the Big Island has been first in the crosshairs when the state is faced with a hurricane threat. As the former head of civil defense for the county, Mayor Harry Kim draws on a vast body of experience and some key insights on how officials within the state's largest landmass have prepared for disaster. But with the added wrinkle of COVID-19, how have emergency preparations changed in the days of social distancing? The Conversation's Harrison Patino spoke with Mayor Kim on his long history of preparing for the worst while hoping for the best.
Most emergencies, you know, it comes from the east to the west, and we're smack dab the most eastern states, so common sense prevails, I guess. The direction really don't matter as much to us in regards to our preparedness. You know, it's just we take each storm or system that comes, because I learned that, my goodness, I learned that back in 1978, and I can tell you the name of the hurricane. It was Hurricane Fico, and ironically, from almost the same direction as this one. And it caused destructive waves in Kalapana, isolated that village because it destroyed all the roads, huge boulders, you know, in the bayfront of Hilo. And this was while Hurricane I was 300 plus miles away. So you learn that, how waves travel, what causes it, importance of knowing a surge. Now we can jump forward all the way to the year 2020 today on a hurricane called Douglas, and you know, it tracks in your mind all the things you've learned. And the one thing I've learned with all the systems that approach the island, each one is unique. The day you start to play God thinking you know what scenarios are, you'll be very surprised who calls a shot. That's lesson number one I'll always remember. Number two, with all the things you learn to remind yourself not to be a forecaster, you still do and learn the hard lessons of it. Who in his right mind would ever believe that while you're addressing the hurricane coming straight for the island and state of Hawaii, you'll have to, you know, put away things of the COVID-19. And it affects the other because of your shelter, the use of manpower, et cetera, et cetera. And one thing I learned about this is, you know, be prepared for any scenario. But even with that, I never would have dreamt of a scenario of a pandemic situation that would affect our shelter space, availability, the numbers game, in comparison to the needs of a hurricane. And so we had to do some fast adjustments there.
Now, you bring up a good point there. The nature of disaster preparedness has fundamentally changed because state and county governments have been dealing with a global disaster since the better part of March. So how is preparation different this time for Hurricane Douglas?
Well, I'll tell you, I've asked myself a lot of things just to make sure I remember and learn. But COVID-19 is my first real pandemic kind of thing. And the very first thing I learned from it, and I embed that in my mind, be aware of the definition of a pandemic. A pandemic is basically a global thing, potentially. Number two, know that it is new. An association with new means we learn every day of it. And we had enough health officials throughout the United States, even Hawaii, that reminded us of that. You crave for answers and know that we're learning every day. And I think all we have to do is reflect a little bit what they said, who was being affected. We thought maybe focus on, unfortunately, the seniors. And we find out later on that's not true. You know, all kind of things we believe at the beginning is so different. Even on face masks, which we say now is critical in regards to mitigate the potential harm. At the beginning, you know, it was not of that. So that's the one thing we learn about this pandemic. It is new. Therefore, newness means we learn every day. New also means, obviously, there is no quick cure and hopeful form of vaccine and those things. And this is what you have to mentally prepare yourself, not to fix anything as a rule, because that will change. And this is changing rapidly. I think because of mankind, we think we know, and we find out we don't know. That's a hurdle we have to get over, so we don't make fix in our mentality how we're going to handle this.
Other counties during the scare for Douglas have noted that social distancing presented sort of an immediate concern with emergency shelters and the difficulty that presents huddling together in large numbers.
Yeah, maybe even more so in this way. You know, Hawaii Island has a lot of graces, and one of it is is five times bigger than all the other islands individually, and I think twice as big as all of the islands combined. And so therefore, with that size, but with that, our population is scattered. And with that, you know, in regards to availability of shelters and those resources, those things. And one of the things we found out real fast is that the most threatened, I think, communities initially was of the, first of all, the east side and the north side of Hamakua and Kohala. So I'll just pick on North Kohala. You know, it's an old plantation down, one of the most beautiful places to live, I think, today. But it does not have any resorts. And that's, you know, the great lifestyle is, you know, ranches and farms and a pristine way of life. But there's no hotels, and therefore very, very few new facilities. New facilities mean new building codes and structural integrity. And so what we had there identified definitely is a shortage of, you know, shelters. And what we have to do now is to make sure we retrofit the best buildings for future hurricanes.
Well, that's an interesting point. In your words, do you think that emergency planning under pandemic conditions presented or exposed any flaws in the county's response to natural disasters?
I think the flaws is that, you know, it's not because they come together. I don't care if it was separate. The pandemic, gratefully, is the first time that it has hit anyone in the United States in this mass that's alive today, or much less in emergency management positions. So when I say new, it is new for everybody, including the most experienced people in regards to emergency response. And so many things have changed from the beginning of February when the United States and Hawaii first got involved of what we believe of the pandemic. So those are the things we had to shake in regards to addressing the pandemic and a hurricane at the same time.
Now, shifting gears here a little bit, was there any worry on your end of ICU capacity in a potential double hurricane COVID-19 scenario?
No, not really. I mean, I would say this, of Hawaii Island, we've been very, very fortunate in regards to our load of positive cases, especially those that have gone to the hospital. I can say this with total accuracy. We have had only one person that had to be admitted to the hospital for stay. We had others went for check, but not to stay. And that one person is still there. She's from Georgia and, got infected by the disease while she was in Georgia. And unfortunately for her, about 3 weeks ago, she was admitted to our local hospital and remains there. But the good news is she is much better today, and I expect her to be well in a limited time. And so in regards to taxing on medical resources, it never was and hopefully never will be.
Now, on a final note here, in recent news, Japan just announced that Hawaii was listed amongst its travel bubble, so-called 12 nations or regions that they deem safe enough to travel. Coming as the mayor of Big Island on this, do you have any thoughts about that?
Oh, yes. You know, I'll grab this opportunity because it is important for people to know what my position is because of misunderstanding. I am, at this point, because of what is happening on the mainland, I set my thresholds on where we should go based on not what is happening here, but primarily what is happening elsewhere. And in regards to tourism, resorts, a university plan, I think it's known that I am against going forward with any of those at this time because of what is happening from the mainland. For example, I think university will tell you that close to or half and more of the students coming to Hawaii comes from either Texas, Arizona, or from California. And if you look at all the data for the past many, many weeks or days, you know, they're in almost an uncontrolled situation, and I do not think it's acceptable risk to have those people invited here at this time, as well as the tourists. Now, in regard, until we have a real solid system of identifying, isolating, and enforcing our policies here, which we do not. In regards to the Japan, I believe that Japan made a policy like Europe and other countries that the United States is a no-no as far as traveling or receiving travelers from because of our high numbers. until I think our governor made an appeal to point out that, yes, we are United States, obviously, but please check our numbers because our numbers are good. And I believe that for the state of Hawaii to have a system of inviting people from countries like Japan, Korea, or New Zealand would be very good for us. We have a responsibility to make sure they are healthy when they leave here. But I really believe that this is a great transitional opportunity of working with those countries. To start with Japan, first of all, Japan, as you know, accounts for anywhere from 20% to 30% of the income generated from tourists from that one country alone. And they are in a really good position as far as control of the virus in their country. And I think a relationship could be made on testing there to ensure their safety when they come here and testing when they go back to ensure safety of the tourists when they go back home. And those are the things I think are really good for both countries. I think any difficulties can really be worked out to the benefit of both.
That was Big Island Mayor Harry Kim talking to The Conversation's Harrison Patino about Hurricane Douglas and reopening travel up to the islands.